Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
Good evening. Love you, Sister Joycey. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 records something wonderful for human beings to hear. He says that the things that are seen are just temporary, and the things that are not seen are eternal.
Amen.
You know, that's a wonderful thought.
Yes, it is.
I'll have 9 hours driving in when I get back home tonight. You know, that's a lot of things that I've seen, but I'll remember the love and the joy that I felt. And I can't see with my eye. That's what sustains us. Certainly we need the things that we see, but the eternal life that abides within your heart is eternal. Preaching is temporary, because a man does it. But when the Lord touches the hearts of his people, even in the mother's womb, with joy and peace, that's eternal. So I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see this good congregation. You know, in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul and their brethren made a lot of journeys. But they come upon a group of women, just a small group of women that he makes mention of. Still don't know where I'm going, Brother Gary. So
just kidding. Lord be with you, my brother.
Sometimes we think that because we don't see a huge crowd, that we want to be, we sometimes feel down, and we know that happens. We want the church to thrive. We want everybody to feel like we feel. We want everybody to know about the Lord. But what we see with our eye is different from what the Lord delivers through the Spirit.
Amen.
So you'll see there all the journeys. It just mentions the cities, but then he stops and mentions this woman named Lydia.
Yeah.
A woman that shouldn't have been there with Paul. Why is that? Because she was rich. Well, how you know she was rich? She was a seller of purple. And this woman, the Lord's, opened her heart. Yep. It doesn't say Lydia listened and heard and believed and submitted and hang on to the end. It said that Lydia, the Lord opened her heart.
Yes, he did.
And after he opened her heart, she attended to the things and the needs of the brethren there.
Amen.
So sometimes as we get in small groups, we think we're insignificant. But wouldn't you like to have the Apostle Paul to walk in today? When he walked to the riverside there, there were some women praying, and he prayed with them.
Amen.
And I'll guarantee you, he done some preaching before he left there. I'll guarantee you that.
Amen.
So listen, children of God, as we go forward in the Word of God, it's two in the book of Jude, and it's 25 verses in Jude's writings. It's the most wonderful beginning and ending of a book that I've ever been able to comprehend. And I've tried and tried and tried to get an understanding of it, but it just overwhelms me.
Yeah.
The words of the Lord are precious. They're tried as in an earthly furnace 7 times. They are endured forever, and they never cease, and they're always true. Every word in here is true and is in there for a reason.
Amen.
So stay away from the perversions and stay away with with the old Bible, and you'll be led right. Jude was an apostle. He's mentioned, I think, by the name of Judas in Luke's and John's writing, I think. But anyway, it's not really important his name, but it's really important of what he says in this first sentence.
Amen.
He says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ,
right,
and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Boy, is that a mouthful.
Amen.
But listen, children of God, as I rode up here today, coming up the interstates and through the mountains, I thought of the way Jude started this epistle, just like the Apostle Paul did. The Apostle Paul could have said a lot of things about himself, But he never forget who he was. He would say to the church at Ephesus and Corinthians and different ones, I'm an apostle, not by the will of man, not by myself. I didn't want to do this. He said, but first of all, I'm an apostle. He said, I'm a slave to Jesus Christ. So it's very important what Jude is telling us here, that we should never forget in foremost of who we are. Jude says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. You know what, children of God, if preachers don't understand that, they're no benefit. If they don't understand that the reason they're preaching is not because of their intellect, not because they're the best speaker, it's because the Lord called them, according to Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Now the Apostle Paul said, I'm a servant to the God of heaven and His darling Son.
Amen.
We should never forget that. If a man don't forget that he's a servant to the church, he'll be a much better pastor.
Amen.
He won't get carried away with all the wiles of the world, because he'll remember that he's here to serve and to care for the people of God and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing he must do is try the best that he can to do what the Lord has told us to do. One of the very early commandments was, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So a preacher that's not learning about Jesus, I heard a preacher say when I was in Tennessee the other week, he said, my Bible's all to pieces. I've taped it up. It's just all to pieces. I've got to get a new one. I said, I'll take it. If somebody opens their Bible and it don't look wore out, I hope it's new. Now I'm saying that most kind way that I can. But we need to wear this book out, children of God, so we can remember who we are. Jude says, I'm a brother of James. And he tells us all this wonderful stuff about God. But the first thing that catches my attention, he says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Aren't you? I'm glad today, children of God. You know what? I'm thankful to be Primitive Baptist. That don't have to be. This is the same preaching that the apostles taught. This is the same thing that Jesus taught the apostles through the ages. It didn't have to be hell for us. We are a privileged person. We are a blessed people to have the knowledge that the world is running rampant with preaching of man's religion. We should be thankful to the Lord every waking moment that we have the knowledge of a finished Savior. Because there are children of God in this world that would love to hear. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, I thank thee, O Father, Lord, heaven and earth, because thou hast heard these things from the wise and prudent. And I'm slowing down, girl. I'm trying to slow down. I really am. For thou hast revealed these things to the wise and prudent, and reveal, hear these things from the wise and prudent, and reveal them unto babes. Mm-hmm. You say, well, I've always believed that Jesus Christ is the Lord. I've always believed that He loved me. That's because the Lord has revealed it to you. Mm-hmm. I think He tells Peter in Matthew maybe 16, Peter, who do man say that I am? Peter said, some say you're this, some say you're that. Who do you say that I am, Peter? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says this, upon this rock I will build my church. We should be thankful that we're in a church that the Lord built and man didn't build. We should be thankful, just like Jude is saying here, that we're servants of Jesus Christ. Aren't we thankful? That makes us no better than other people, but it gives you a whole lot more joy during this life, don't it?
Amen.
Upon this rock I will build my church. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of prayer. I told Brother Gary coming up here, without the us, it just don't work as good. Without them, it just don't work as good. So Jude is saying here that first and foremost, he's a servant of Jesus Christ. It'll make you a better child. It'll make you a better mother. It'll make you a better father. It'll make you a better grandfather. Your whole life will be better if you remember who you are.
Amen.
And remember how you got there. Paul, the Apostle Paul, isn't that wonderful that we're in the church? A church is made up of people, so it'll never be perfect. We understand that. But aren't we glad that we're in a church? That the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I've already mentioned, the things that we cannot see are invisible, but they're eternal. Aren't we glad that we hear about a God that saves His people from the uttermost parts of the earth, whether they're in the mother's womb, whether they're in the sea, whatever takes us in this life. The God of heaven has no boundaries. Aren't we glad of that?
Amen.
Oh, we should be. David says, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints." They are preserved forever. They are preserved forever, but the wicked shall be cut off. Aren't we glad, children of God, that we know about a God that is not waiting for you to get your life right? Aren't we glad that your Lord sees us all as one undone lump, and that we should live the best that we could live, but we're servants of Jesus Christ, and He's a merciful God to His children, and He's always loved His children. He'll always love His children. If there's not a time that He won't love His children, He says in John 14, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm coming back for you." Aren't you glad of that? You know, we've got people that sing songs, angel bands, we sing it too. That's just not the truth. The Lord wouldn't allow anything or anybody or any entity, anything to come for one of His child but Him. And I'm telling you, the Lord don't have to come. But evidently a man stood up in heaven one day, Stephen saw. Spirits don't stand, am I right? There's a man in heaven, ain't that right? He's not a man like us, but Jesus is in heaven. So He don't have to come down. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. But Jesus tells him in John 13, "This is a sad time, and I know it is. But I'm going away, but I'm coming again. And I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." Oh, children of God, listen. Look into the things that are not seen, and mourn over your loved ones, but don't worry about them. They're okay. They're in the loving arms of Jesus in a place called paradise, Paul saw, and there's a number there that no man can number. No disruption, just perfect peace and joy. Aren't you glad that you have some of this truth? Aren't you glad that you've heard men that will be persecuted to preach like other preachers have, and not get caught up in the cares and wiles of this world? They preach what Jude is saying here. Listen, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, a brother of James. But oh, the Lord built this church. This is the Lord's house. This is not man's house. We don't dress it up with the world to bring the world in. Listen, the Lord built His church. That's what He told Peter. And the rock that He's building on is not Peter. It's on the truth that this is the Messiah, and He's come.
Right.
He's come. I give you the keys to the kingdom, Peter. Jude, servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To them that are set apart by preaching, give me a break. Do you want to hear that? Will that do for you in Happy Creek? I don't think it will. I think Judas is hitting on something here very important that we read over and under and don't quite grasp. Do you know God set you apart and sanctified you individually just like He did the whole untold innumerable people that man cannot number? God individually sanctified you and set you. God the Father, you sanctified, you set apart. Not by the church, not by preaching. Our preaching will make us happy, and preaching will give us joy. But I'm telling you, children of God, it'll save you from this earth. But God set you apart. Not even the Old Baptist Church.
Right.
Now, the Old Baptist Church may be where you heard about your salvation, but the Lord had already visited you before the preacher got to you. I'll guarantee you that.
Amen.
Oh, yes, He did. Judas saying something is so very wonderful. Jude, he is the servant of Jesus Christ. If we get up in the morning with that on our mind, we'll be much better people.
Amen.
You'll be kinder to people. You'll be a better wife, a better husband, I've already said. Lord, help me. Help me not to cause one to stray. Help me not to be like... We've got enough examples. Why do you think in the book of Joshua... that when they were to tear down the walls of Jericho, you remember that story, they marched around it. They marched around it 6 days, I think, then the seventh day they marched around it seven times. You know, that's a wonderful story there. There's a woman named Rahab that the Lord loved that He shouldn't have loved. But oh, He's got people all over this earth, and you don't know who they are.
No.
We're all in all the corners. Even if we're away from the church, we're still a part of that body. We still feel the love even we're away. But you know, Lord, help me not to discourage the young ones. Lord, help me to to walk a good walk before my children and family. Oh, we can be so discouraging. You know, I often wonder, Brother Gary, why Joshua said, on these 6 days, don't say anything. Don't talk. Don't say nothing. You know what? If that had been me those 6 days, I'd be saying, how many times have we got to walk around here?
Yeah.
And I'll bet you I would discourage somebody, wouldn't it? Sure. Joshua said, listen, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Don't discourage. We've already heard enough discouragement. We've heard what the spies, all right, spies, tell us what happened. Was it really flowing with milk and honey? Oh, yes. It's just like they said. It's my words, Brother Gary. Oh, we've got a good report. Look at these grapes. Two men can't even carry them. Oh, you're right. It's flowing with milk and honey. But nevertheless,
giants.
There's giants there.
Sure.
There are big cities there. There's walls there. We can't take it. You need to keep that to yourself. You're just discouraging somebody. Joshua and Caleb said, listen, oh yes, we can take it. Let's go forward. We can take it. Sometimes, children of God, we need to realize who we are. We're the children of God. And every day we are saying, Lord, help me to be easier to listen and less words coming from my mouth. Lord, help me not to discourage the Lord of ones. The Lord said it's better to hang a millstone around your neck and cast you into the sea than cause one of these little ones to suffer or to perish. So I've often wondered why. And I looked at that and really didn't see it until it kind of popped out. I may have heard it, Brother Gary, but I forgot. Don't say nothing. But on the seventh day, shout with a great shout, because you've got something to shout about. Listen, children of God, we've got something to shout about, but we need to really be careful with our lives, our everyday lives, our church lives, the way we discourage people. And we do that enough, not meaning to. But I think we can do better than that. We are such a great have such a great God and such a truth that we know, and we just get a little dark glimpse of it. Oh, but Jude is saying here, the God of heaven sanctified us. We know according to the book of Ephesians, and my voice is about gone. I've been in service, this is the third or fourth time. We know the Lord chose His people according to before the foundation of the world. We understand that. We love that. According to Romans chapter 8, we understand John chapter 15. The Lord said, listen, boys, this is my talking. Listen, you didn't choose me. Get that out of your head. I chose you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be given you. Right. So let's get things straight, you 12 or whoever who is talking to you. You didn't choose me, and we still don't get that. We still don't get that. Oh, but Jude has got it right. Oh, yes, Jude has got it right. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To them, oh, that's a big word.
Yeah.
To them that are sanctified by God the Father. If God be for us, who can be against us? When the body fails, when the cancer, whatever's going on, if God is for you, who can be against you? When you're going to have tests next week, or you wonder what may happen here or yonder, or if your sight is gone, whatever, if God is for you, who can be against you? The God of the Old Testament just laid the lands of the great men, cities, just laid them to waste. Fired hell and brimstone down on the people there with just His mighty hand. So if God is for you, the same one that set you apart, who can be against you? Cancer can't be against you. No, it can't. Oh, Davidson told us, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why, David? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So Jude has got it right. Not some religious organization. So why do we still know about it from the days of the apostles? Because God, it's His pleasure to give it to us. So we ought to be thankful for that.
Amen.
Listen, we ought to hold our head up. I told Brother Gary coming up here that sometimes I get discouraged. You know, we had 50 the week before, and we had about 25 this week. I'm thinking, I thought I had. What happened? What happened? And I'm thinking, what did I do, Brother Forrest? You know what I'm talking about. What happened? I don't understand, Lord. What happened? Well, Well, then I told Brother Gary, I happened to think about old Noah. You know, he preached for 120 years, and he converted not one soul. It wasn't one wicked person that he turned around that I know of, because the Scripture says that all of us altogether wicked, and the Lord destroyed all but righteous Noah, according to Peter's writing. So that righteous preacher, Noah, that's what Peter called him, the righteous preacher, preacher of righteousness. If he can preach 100 years and didn't seem to do no effect, we can still learn from him. He just kept on preaching and kept on preaching. Oh, listen, children of God. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To them that sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, children of God. What a wonderful thing for me. My favorite son and his wife is having a child in November. They're already thinking, Lord, we hope the baby is all right. So I took them right to Psalm 139. I said, listen, children of God, you start hoping right now, because there's a God in heaven that's already is preserving that child. And whatever the child's life is, he's in the Lord's hands. David said, Lord, have mercy. I'm just happy to see you. And if Brother Gary would preach, I would certainly be happier. I'm telling you, we are preserved and you'll never perish. You may wear out in this world. Your body may fail. You may be nothing but a smiling face before you leave this earth. But when you'll be just like Stephen, you will be in a place called paradise that man cannot describe. It's because the Lord has preserved you and not some man has preserved you. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. All we think sometimes, all the aborted babies, all the sin that men has done. Oh, it didn't just start, children of God. It's always been here. But I'm telling you, Jude is telling us about a preserving God that you never can be plucked out of his hand. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. That ought to give us some... That ought to give us some joy. Psalm 139. Y'all know this, very familiar. For thou hast, verse 13, Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. You know what? That's going back pretty far, ain't it?
Yeah.
You believe it? Oh, I believe it. Wait till you get as old as I am and raise three children. Hey, I'm almost, listen, in August I received my first Social Security check. Wonderful, wonderful. So wait till I tell these young preachers, you haven't been on the battlefield like some of these preachers. And right now it may not sink in, but I'm telling you, Judah's saying he did not forget what he was. And he wants you to know, to start with, that he's a servant of Jesus Christ. That's a good place to start. He could have said a whole lot of things. He says we are sanctified by God the Father and preserved. And I told Sister Samantha, listen, the sweet little girl and my favorite son, Timothy, but thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. David is saying, you know what? The Lord loves me and has protected me, and I know it. That's a wonderful thing to know. When cancer strikes our body, when diseases, or when our heart fails, or when we're like Brother Richard, he still can lay there knowing that the God of heaven is his preserver and will be with him always to the end, because he's believed the promise that he's heard. David said, I know this right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in the secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth.
Right.
Oh my goodness. These foolish men. They may be good. They may speak better. It don't take much to speak better than I do. But I'm telling you, you're speaking nothing but a lie. The Lord knows when life begins. When the Lord brings life into a mother's womb, there's life there. And if you leave it alone, the Lord will deal with it and preserve it. And he'll deal with his people. Oh, don't you believe that stuff. No siree. Don't you believe it. They are getting so... This world is, listen, we need to remember that we serve Jesus Christ. And the only way you can serve him is to serve his people. You can't serve him at home. You could be on a desert island and do no sin, but you're still not. You've got to serve his people. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. thine eyes, the Lord's eyes, did see my substance. Yet being unperfect in all in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Oh, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me.
Oh,
God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than saying, when I awake, I am still with thee.
Amen.
You know the Lord thanks. David said the Lord thanks about us. Isn't that a wonderful? You know, who you think? David says, when I lay down to sleep, when I rise up, the Lord is there with me. Listen, David says, whether I take the wings and to the heavens or whatever, or if I make my bed in hell, the Lord is there with me. Judah's saying he has sanctified us and he's preserved us. Oh, isn't that a great truth in the Lord's word? Preserve his people. He's always loved his people. And he'll preserve them to the end. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, and called. You know, Jude will go on and tell us here about how man creepy and unaware and does all this stuff. But that first verse and the 24th verse is what stuck in my mind for the last month. And I just cannot get a handle on all that I want to tell y'all. I couldn't wait to get up here. And I still don't feel like I can tell y'all how I'm feeling.
Oh, no.
What I want you, before I go back to down with children of God, I want you to remember that I told you this. That Jude, all the writing that he done in Paul, the first thing he told them people, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm an apostle. That was their first foremost thing they would want you to know. And I'm telling you, you young folks, as you raise your children, when you go to school or continue your education, if you remember that, you'll have a much better life. Now, the world may come down on you hard, but the Lord will hide you. You know, I heard a man the other day talk about a painting that was somewhere. He said it was of a terrible storm, and all the waters and colors, and it was a cleft of the rock. And in the very little corner of the rock of the storm, there was a little bird, and the little bird had his head under his wing, showing that even when the storm was around, when the Lord was around, when the Lord hid him in the rock, that the bird felt safe enough to even sleep. Well, you know, that's Peter in Acts chapter 12, when he was chained between two soldiers. He was asleep. Now listen, children of God, the Lord has preserved us, and oh, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Them, listen, children of God, and called. You see what Jude's talking about? He's talking about the three-in-one Godhead right here. I think, Brother Garrett, they're all three there.
Amen.
God the Father, God the Son, and now here's calling. Aren't you glad, children of God, that you don't believe in a religious world that says that man calls you? Aren't you glad of that? Listen, I've tried that and it didn't work too good. Aren't you glad? When you may have been like I was when I was growing up, and my mama thought, Lord, have mercy, if it can be one any more worse than Jamie, I don't know which one it can be. Aren't you glad that the Lord knew me when I didn't know him? And aren't you glad that the Lord calls his people all the same way, according to Nicodemus,
absolutely,
John chapter 3? Aren't you glad?
Amen.
That will preserve you.
Amen.
We may do things that's terrible. We may end up in all kind of problems. But the mother say, I witness it. The mother or father may say, I can witness in my heart. I've seen the love of God in that child or in that man. You can rest this assurity, even though you like maybe the thief on the cross that was justly being punished for his crimes, the Lord is still preserving you, and he called you like he called everybody else. Aren't you glad that you believe? I am thankful to be an old Baptist for 40-some years, and I want to preach his word until I die. But I'm glad that I've got something to preach.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. I ain't got much sense now. I can't sleep now. How could I sleep thinking about this mumbling of me would populate heaven? Don't you know that's what the religious world builds their empire on? On a little Jesus that will if you will? A little grandfather, God? Jude's not talking about that.
No,
we're all called the same way. John the Baptist was called his mother's womb. David was called on his mother's breast. And listen, children of God, we're all called the same way.
Right.
And he's a preserver. I believe in Psalm 37 also says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he may fall, Brother Gary, am I anywhere close?
That's close.
He shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Oh, aren't we glad that we know this?
Amen.
Aren't we glad that even we're like Sister Joycey, that we're separated from each other from time to time, maybe in nursing homes? I like rest homes better. Or maybe, who knows what will happen to us? Aren't we glad that we can understand what Jude is saying here? That the God of heaven sanctified you, not some man. And the God of heaven sent his Son and has preserved you with his pure blood. You know, that's something that will really help us when we get old, children of God. And aren't we glad that we can say that the God of heaven sent his Holy Spirit and called us by his grace? Isn't that wonderful to know? It is for me, children of God, because we don't know what may befall us. This world is changing quick.
It is.
I'm telling you with the truth. Jeremiah, the prophets prophesied of this day, that people would say what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong. Just whatever feels good, do it. I'm telling you, children of God, we need to remember the truths of God and remember who we are.
Right.
And listen, if you don't remember this as a preacher, you'll get to where you think you're doing pretty good. I've been there. Don't try it. It won't be good.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You men that may preach, don't do it. Turn looking at me like, and this boy looking, I can't remember your name, but I can't remember nobody's name, so don't get mad at me. You're probably thinking, I'll never be a preacher. Don't you believe that. But I'm telling you, if the Lord does call you, don't do like we've done. You remember that you're a servant of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, the Lord taught me this. And I want to serve his people. And all Paul wanted to do is preach about Jesus. He didn't want to preach about himself, although he could. Listen, Jesus. Listen, people. Listen, children of God. Brother Gary, I reckon I was just too excited about coming. Jude got some wonderful words for us here. Jude. Jamie, you said it before. I want you to remember it. That Jude was the servant of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When the Lord arranged it, what I'm trying to get to, children of God, these words didn't just fall together.
No, they didn't.
The Lord inspired men to write them.
Yes, it did.
So they're exactly where they need to be. Every comma, every period. Well, some man wrote it. Yeah, the Lord led them to read it and to write it. Jude is saying here, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. That's for a purpose. Letting us know that Jude wanted us to know that among anything else. Then he tells us those wonderful news of God. Sanctified us. Listen, children of God, Jesus Christ has preserved us and is preserving us. We've got foolish men that would think perseverance of the saints. Can't even hardly say the word. We'll all hold out somewhere or another and we'll be faithful to the end. That's another, give me a break. It ain't going to happen. But the Lord will preserve you. But I'm telling you, I'll guarantee you before I get home tonight at 12 or 1 o'clock, I will persevere. I'll think something wrong. I'll say, Lord, why couldn't I do as good as Brother Forrest or Brother Gary? I'll do that stuff. We all do that. So I'm not going to persevere until the end. I'm just a person. But the Lord will preserve. He'll preserve you. That's the difference. Absolutely. Listen, children of God. Oh, Jude, I think he's got something here. Then he goes on in that 24th verse and says this. Unto him that is able to present you faultless in the presence of his glory, in the presence of his glory with... Wait a minute, Gary. To him that is able to present you faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Oh, ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful news, children of God? Jude in the the book of Jude in the second chapter?
No. Won't be there.
Said that one day and the whole congregation looked up and I was glad they looked up. Jude, we know, is just one chapter. But he says in that 24th verse, to him that is able, keep thee from falling, and to present you faultless. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I don't know about you, children of God, but as I get older, I think about the Lord more than I used to. I joined the church when I was about 19. I'm now 62. The old Baptists have put up with me for years. It was a group of old Baptists in Axton, Virginia that my wife and I grew up with. Older folks, they taught us. They walked a good walk before us. They were kind to us. They were good friends to us. They were better to us than our own natural family. They were called Primitive Baptists. And I never forgot, children of God, through the years of my working career and in the public and all this stuff, how the Lord has blessed me, how I felt His presence. But you know what? We ain't finished yet. The battle is still going on. The battle ain't won yet. I'm telling you, we're not finished yet. But I think how the Lord, sometimes I lay in the bed and can't hardly sleep. Could this just all be a big false lie? Oh, but then I feel that thing that's invisible that I felt. As a boy of 9 years old on Claiborne Street that I mentioned, so much as I heard the preacher preaching and didn't know what in the world had got a hold of me. Listen, children of God. And then I think, oh yes. And then I think through the years how the Lord has blessed me and showed His face to me and been with my family. The Lord has walked before us, children of God, and been with us in an invisible way and much more than in a way that we could see. And then I think about it. Oh, Stephen said, look at him. Look at him. What do you want us to see, Stephen? Look at him. I see Jesus standing. I can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend that. But you know what? If I'm in a terrible accident going home and laying on the side of the road, as some folks do, that may happen, I may remember that. And I may see the Lord just like Stephen did. I may see Him. I may see Him, children of God, even in my mind, if nothing else, and have that joy brought back to me. That the Lord has chose me. The Lord has set me apart. He's preserved me. And oh, I'm so thankful. Why would He call a sinner like me? Oh, could it be real? Could that be such a place that the angels and the multitude of saints are singing the praises? Could there be such a place that John said his voice is like many waters, his eyes is bright, and his countenance is just unbearable to look at. Could it be such a place? I'm telling you, children of God, you can take it to the bank. There is, and as we get older, we see it more clearly. Jude, servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Oh, what a wonderful, what a wonderful. I reckon that's the reason Jude went on into the hard stuff, Brother Gary. Jude will tell us real quick, listen, it's going to be some men that's going to creep in unaware and cause a lot of trouble. But I wanted you to just stay with the positive for us to remember that the Lord loves us. And when we feel Him in our heart, we should never forget it. Amen. And if we want to serve the Lord, we serve His people as kind as we can, as much as we can. Listen, children of God, I visited Amelia last Sunday to see Sister Ruth. She's of our saints on this earth, is Sister Ruth Kidd. When my mind's thinking about her, I know Brother Ralph's down there, but when my mind's thinking about her, I just go down there and see her. What are you doing there? What'd you come down here for? Just to see you, Ruth. Listen, people of God have been through the trials and troubles. Men and women have been through wars. We have no idea what these children of God have had to endure. And all through this, they can still say, the Lord is good to me. The Lord is my shepherd, like David did. They can see, we can see it in their lives that the Lord has visited them and he kept them all through the ages. Amen. And even to the end of their life.
Right.
They're more faithful and more brighter now than they were before. Sister Ruth, I've got to go use the restroom. I'll be right back. She's 95 or 6 years old now. I'm in the restroom. She's already got up fixing cornbread and getting me some to eat. That's the children. That's the old Baptist that I'm, I don't want to say proud. That's the church that the Lord built. That's it. That's, I finally got it. That's it. I'm ready to go home. That's the church that the Lord built. Not some man-made machine.
Right.
And I'm thankful to have been privileged to be among the old Baptists all these years. And hope that y'all will put up with me a few more years. And I love you. And I told Gary he didn't need me, surely. But I had such a desire to come see you. And that's the only reason that I come. And I hope the Lord will bless you with a prosperous week. I hope the Lord will keep you safe with health and joy until we can meet again. I love you and I thank the Lord for you. I love you, Sister Joycey. Love you dearly. And Sister Gay will be excited when I tell her that you was... had some contact with her. I wish I could have explained it better, but
it's good.
The Lord is good.
Amen.
And I'm thankful to be a servant, and I don't want to forget it. May the Lord bless
Amen.
You, is my prayer.
Amen. Love that, brother. Good preaching. Good preaching.